For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins the national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
You thank Gary in Fayetteville for, I guess he's being my schedule keeper right here. I got the time of the baseball game wrong when I went into that last break, Matt. It's 6:30 first pitch. 6 o'clock is when we get on the air. I'd have been ready at 5:30, so it's, you know, better early than late, I think, in terms of being ready for anything. But I can't keep up with all of this stuff. So think of all the things you try to keep. There's all these games happening day by day, conference tournaments. What time is the game starting? Can't keep up with that. NFL free agency. Who's being cut? Who's being signed? You can't keep up with that. Put it on your phone, they would say. You got 80 million dozen things on your phone, which includes, yes, the time of the game. But I didn't have it right in front of me, so just don't have consistent start time. Sometimes we had a 6 o'clock game Tuesday, 6:30 today, and at least tomorrow and Sunday are 2 o'clock games. So there'll be just a little bit of consistency this weekend.
Do you see a couple weeks ago, I'm sure people that are NBA fans and sports world fans, you might have seen this, but Anthony Edwards showed up late to the game. He was like, oh, I just lost track of time. So to your point, better you're there an hour early than an hour late.
So, I mean, our NBA game, I still remember games used to always start at or around 7 o'clock. You didn't do the 7:05 thing until WTBS figured out that they would get their own little slot on the TV guide page if they started a show or started a game at 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Everything else was at 7 o'clock. If you go at 7:05, you get your own little entry there in TV guide. That's why they did that. And then the next thing you know, baseball games are starting at 7:05. I used to work at 7:10 with Travelers games. And now there's like 6 o'clock games and 6:30 games and the occasional 5:30 game. But if it's an NFL game, you always know you have very specific slots to start games. Football is kind of good like that. College baseball, not always good like that. All right, I did promise some sound from Muss. Here's Eric Musselman on this last basketball season.
I mean, this is new territory. This, you know, right now, the season ending stings. I've not been in this position, you know, hopefully the program's not. Hopefully we're playing deeper in this tournament, but more importantly, hopefully we're playing in NCAA tournaments. It's a new experience for me and one that I hope our group of players that will be here next year and, and the coaching staff, you know, we certainly hope that, you know, we're back making tournament runs, not just making the tournament. So a unique, a different feeling right now than what many of us have experienced.
Now that there's some folks who are wondering whether or not Muss will remain the head coach at Arkansas with a place like Louisville that's open, and who knows what other jobs end up coming open down the line. I don't know, because when I watch that press conference and when I listen to him talk, I mean, it sounds like somebody who's motivated to succeed exactly where he is right now.
I'm probably more motivated right now at this moment than I ever have been. So, yeah, I can't wait to work.
It's what you go into the offseason with. Can't wait to work. I guess you let your agent do the other things and focus on the job you got right now. But to me, it sounds, maybe I'm just buying into things and I shouldn't, but it sounds to me like a coach who's worried about success in the seat he's currently sitting.
Never been around a good coach that are a good player that it doesn't affect you when you lose. I was raised in a coaching family and been around it my whole life. It's not fun when you lose. You're competitors, whether you're going to the grocery store to get the most groceries for the cheapest price, you know, whether you're making good time driving, everything you do in your life, you compete. And some people aren't like that. But people that make it to that high level of play and coaching like that for that long, I guarantee you it's hurting them. It hurts me every time you lose, man. It's no fun going into work each week and not having any hope. That would have been the other thing for this team. There wasn't a lot of, well, when so-and-so gets back or when something, it was just like, man, you could see it early on, the talent, for whatever reason, they missed on it this year.
The physicality was lacking, certainly at guard, and that stood out yesterday. That was a reason, and not even just at guard, too. I mean, you know, Makai played really strong, and good for him. Graham had some moments yesterday where, I wondered where that might have been throughout the entire season, but he couldn't keep that going throughout the entire game. Lawson, occasionally a moment here and there, but he also played with some strength. It was at the guard position that you just didn't necessarily have a lot of, strength. I mean, there was some athleticism, not to the level, as you've talked about, as I think we've seen in previous years. There was some shot-making, a little bit limited in the ability to score from certain of those guards. And the more you look at it, you could have seen it earlier. But, you know, I was kind of hoping Manyfield shows up. He drops 28 against Wilmington. And you thought, well, all right, here comes somebody that looks like he can score a little bit. And then the next thing you know, in about a month, he's just kind of fallen out of the rotation, doesn't even make the trip. We hadn't even seen him for like the last month, so he fell off. Devo coming and going. Is this going to end up, helping turn a corner? That never happened. Tremont Mark's going to lead the way at some point. Yes, Mark did lead the way throughout a miserable month of January. And Caleb Battle, for as good as he played or as good as he scored in the last few games, you know, how many of those
two
games
and four
were
in
losses?
Two and four the last six.
Exactly. How many of those were in losses? There was never a moment where things turned around. It's just that the losses got not easier to watch, but you were more competitive in losses. And that's, nobody's going to celebrate that.
Well, it was a second-tier group of guys, and that's okay. Anytime we played a Pyramid 1 team, a Tier 1 or Tier 2 team, they didn't. I mean, especially in 2024, you call Duke what you want, but whenever Duke's not a Final Four team. You know, yeah, they got some talent on them, but Duke doesn't scare anybody. And that's the other thing. I kind of put it on the offense for the football offense last year. Who scared you? Not one single person. And then you look at this basketball team. How do you have guys and can't shoot it? Like that's the whole thing, man. You got to get stops and you got to hit shots. That's as simple as you can put it right there. Get stops and hit your open shots. You got to find some guys that can defend. And then when you're open, man, uncontested shots, got to shoot it at a higher clip.
And outside shooting was a weakness last year. You know, I thought that was addressed, and it was addressed, but only to a point. And along with maybe a little more outside shooting, just had trouble getting to the rim or even running an offense at times. There just wasn't a lot of rhythm offensively. You can give the ball to Battle and let him do his thing and find a way to get to the free throw line, But there were moments yesterday where nobody could get you a bucket. Now, admittedly, there were plenty of other teams that couldn't get a bucket against South Carolina. But this wasn't the only team that they struggled to score against, and also not the only team that they struggled to defend. You know, Carolina's not a team that routinely gets to 80. It's not a team that's going to be shooting 53% too often. But then again, they got a lot of high-quality shots right around the rim on second chances. A lot of put-back dunks or just dunks on a fast break. They beat Arkansas in every aspect of the game in the final 20 minutes. And, boy, what was that run? Was it 10-0 to start the second half? You're just like, all right, this is it. It's like you're waiting
for an 8-0 run to start and an 8-0 run to finish, I believe.
Yeah, and there was nobody that was able to stop it, nobody that could get you a bucket when you needed it, and – you know, basketball season comes to an end with that. So now you look ahead, and what is it? Who's the first to announce? I mean, I don't know any other way to put it. It's a reality of college athletics now, where now the season's over, coaches get let go, and players go into the portal and make their choices. Although I wonder if how soon do you start making your choices? And the other, I mean, everybody's got the question: Will Muss be the head coach? Will he be the head coach? Mark in Prairie Grove said he hopes to be back, is what he heard from Muss, and doesn't sound like he's very committed. I mean, in the pressure that I watched, and it was short and it's terse. I mean, you know, there was a weird question of everything was about a little bit about the basketball game, more about what the season was like, and you know, what are you going to do in order to try to turn that thing around. There was a little bit about, what do you think this tournament looks like next year with Oklahoma and Texas, which felt like a really weird question. But I saw a guy who was, I don't know if humbled is the right word, but look, the only two times that Muss has missed the NCAA tournament as a head coach was because of the pandemic, and maybe that team might have made it. That team might have made it in that first year, and then, you know, his first year at Nevada. And then, they turn into the dominant program in that league moving forward. So I saw a coach that just is not used to being in that situation, doesn't like it. And it looked to me like somebody that's interested in doing what he can. Maybe there's a raise that's involved in this too. I mean, I'd be naive to think that if there are other jobs out there and this is an administration that does want to keep the coach, well, then maybe there's a raise out there for him to get. Although it would be a little bit odd after a 15-16 season, that's for sure. But that's how things operate sometimes in college basketball. What have you done for me lately, or what did you do for me in the first 3 years? That's what it sounds like, right?
Hey, get back to work. That's all you can do. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you. That's the truth.
14 players on the men's basketball roster for this season, Matt. And, I mean, sometimes you even forgot Bay Fall was there. Six of them are out of eligibility. So right then and there, you know, you're remaking nearly half the team. And that doesn't even count who may end up going into the portal, who may not end up going into the portal. Devo, you know, he said some things to other outlets yesterday that I don't think necessarily shine much light on that. Caleb Battle didn't have much to say about it after the game either. You know, you get Mark. That's somebody that you'd like to build around, Matt. Keon Menefield could still stick. Brazil, Pinion, Layden Blocker, and Bay Fall.
I was surprised Pinion, you know, he played more as a freshman than he did as a sophomore.
Man, I'd be surprised if he doesn't get into the portal really quickly.
You usually see a jump there. I think it's easy to see that Mark's our best player. It's not even close. It's really hard to even debate who the best player on the team is. Mark's the best player on this team, no question about it. So, yeah, you'd like him back. And then Brazil's our best pro. I mean, he's got the most potential to go to the next level. He's got the talent. He's got the highest ceiling. You know, he can grow the most. No question about that. And then you go from there. You know, are you looking at Bayfall and Landon Blocker, some youngsters that you think are going to be a little bit better? Do you want to keep, you know, is Battle a guy that you want to ride with again? I think Battle's easily could average 20 points a game. But is that a 500 type of team? You know, what are you going to do? So, yeah, they got a lot of things. And exit, Phil, one of the things, as soon as the season's over, you got exit meetings. You know, you go in there and you meet with your coach.
It's
and
happening
and
right now,
you
I would
talk
think.
About it. Yeah, so you're there. You find out a lot in those meetings.
It's a small team, just the way that it would be constructed. Even, you know, looking at who's coming in next year, Jalen Shelley, who's a 6'8", 175-pound small forward, and Isaiah Elohim, who's 6'5". So they're going to bring in some beef, Matt, because even if Brazil comes back, even if Bay Fall does return, they're a little slender. Or I didn't see enough of Fall to even know what kind of a player he could be. But it's a small team. In Brazil, I mean, 6'10" forward playing more like a guard who can outleap other forwards at times around the rim. But you're going to need to bring in some bulk, because that's what stood out about Carolina yesterday, aside from the way that they're connected, the way that they, you know, the way that they're obviously believing the message coming from the coach. They just look like bigger men. They look like bigger men at almost every position, and just could kind of push the Hogs around isn't the right way, but they just couldn't get in the way and stop them. So you got to bring in multiple forwards, and I mean guys with some girth to them, because that was lacking. If I'm looking at, like, I mean, sometimes they, like, one of the hallmarks of the team this year was the bark was bigger than the bite. You know what I mean? Like, they would get into a couple of pushing and shoving matches and get in an opponent's face, but there wasn't much behind that to really back it up. So I think they wanted to be tough, but I just don't think it's a team that really had a lot of that toughness.
We didn't have SEC talent. There's no question about it. You look at the teams that finished in the top six of the SEC this year, and, man, it wasn't even close when they stepped on the floor. You're looking at rangy wings, bigs that are athletic, point guards, and we were inferior at every one of those places. I mean, it was a talent issue. There wasn't a lack of effort. You know, this team played hard. They fought. They just belong in the Atlantic 10 or something. You know, they belong in the UNC Greensboro. Like, that's the division this talent should have been. They're not SEC caliber. That's just, it's okay. It's just how it is.
It's just okay for this year. Can't happen again.
Got to get it right next year. Yeah, you don't want to do back-to-back years of Amber Heard in the bed. One's enough. Let's get the sheets clean. Let's wash it up. Get some new sheets if you have to.
Might even need some dryer sheets for this.
You know, get rid of the dog. Whatever you got to do, we're going to have to. There's changes have to be made. And, hey, that's just what it is. When you go 15-16, when you go 6-12, not good enough.
All right, so what about the rest of this tournament moving forward? You got some games in the SEC today, Matt. And one thing, like, good thing for South Carolina to not look past Arkansas to the team that blew them out by 40. What was their run? Was that in like a 9-game winning streak or something? And I think that was the first team to score over 76 points against them when Auburn just punked them. Back in January,
61-101.
Wow, how did Auburn score 100? Look, that Auburn can put some points up. How did anybody score 100 points against South Carolina? How the heck did that happen? So you get a chance to watch that again at the same time that the Hogs would have played if they would have maybe had a better second half last night. That's a great game. Florida Alabama could be a great game. I don't know much about, you know, A&M Kentucky. You know how you feel about A&M, Matt. It might be more fun to watch Kentucky rebound against him.
That might be a bad matchup for Kentucky because A&M has some guards. Kentucky struggles a little bit at defense, so A&M is going to get some shots up.
A&M is – I love to throw out the hockey analogies for them. They're like the New Jersey Devils of the 1990s that made the game so ugly that you just didn't watch it, but they might win a few games. Well, maybe shouldn't go the Devils route because they want a Stanley Cup playing that sort of hockey. But A&M, they're like the ugly hockey team of the SEC. You're right. Maybe they could muck it up enough with Kentucky, find a way to throw enough ugly shots up against the glass that they can rebound it and stick it back against them.
And then Florida Alabama, man, those are four high level. Out of these last eight games right there, are all these eight? You think that's the eight that's getting in? You think they're all going to?
Man, you know what? You're probably right. A&M is not
the look. They're not in right now. They're maybe.
They beat Kentucky, maybe, yeah.
They're on the bubble. They beat Kentucky, maybe so. You know, that is the kind of conference tournament win that, depending on what else happens across the rest of the of championship week, maybe could do it. You know, Pitt's at that situation. They beat Wake Forest yesterday. They get North Carolina today. I think A&M and Pitt may be kind of fighting for one of those bubble spots.
I saw a stat where Pitt's beat North Carolina a handful of times the last five games. So they're not scared of them. So maybe that's a bad matchup for them.
Well, they've got a former Duke Blue Devil as the coach who knows what it's like to beat North Carolina, even on a buzzer beater, Jeff Capel. That could be a good up. Mississippi State's also kind of in that position where, you know, maybe they beat Tennessee. I mean,
They're not athletic enough.
They're not beating Tennessee. That's the thing. It's like, that would be me, like me thinking Arkansas was going to beat South Carolina yesterday, which I didn't think, but I did think that the Hogs would have a better performance than the first time around, and it turned out I think they lost by the same amount of points? Lost by 14? Well, it was close to the same, but you know, I mean, that second half was just, it didn't feel like you were down by 14. Felt like more like they were down by 25.
That Auburn, South Carolina, if you get a chance to watch it, it's two similar teams. I just think Auburn has better athletes. You know, I think if Auburn and South Carolina play 10 times, Auburn's going to win 8 of them. I think they're very similar in how they go about it.
Carl from Fayetteville texted in, and this was another thought that I had yesterday, and I think you even said this on the show. He texted on the McLarty Daniel hotline, 877-377-6963. He says the team was so soft. And that's what, if I were to choose the one word in that second half, it felt soft. You know, that's what I mean. You know, kind of got pushed around. Couldn't work to get the shots against that South Carolina defense. Like, Carolina looked rock solid in the second half, and Arkansas looked kind of the opposite of that. So I think that was the right word. You know, kind of got pushed around at times. Greg asks if players still have respect and listen to the coach on game days with NIL and transfer portal. And I think this whole thing works two ways. If you look at the Razorbacks and say, well, NIL is a reason why they had this bad season. What about Tennessee? You think those guys aren't getting paid NIL money, maybe more so than Arkansas players are? They seem to be playing well. South Carolina players, I know that, I mean, the whole idea is everybody's getting paid. Everybody's getting paid. So you can't blame the world of NIL for one team's miserable, you know, season or one team's failures, but not at least look to a bunch of the other teams in the same league in which they might even be spending more money. I don't know, but Tennessee seems to have that thing going. And say, well, all right, NIL could be a reason why maybe these guys are playing well, where they're able to put a team together that work. It's just about buy-in. That leads to something that Battle said yesterday on just sort of, well, one of the differences between Arkansas and South Carolina, and this was something that you're talking about too, Matt.
To play together. That was the difference in the game. I think, you know, we were just as talented as anybody in the country, but they just play together. They were a team out there. They were a team.
They play together. You got to buy in. I mean, Battle said it's on the players. It's not on the coaches. The coaches spend a lot of time with detailed scouting reports on tendencies of players, and this is how they operate on the baseline inbound. This is how they operate on the sideline inbound. It still didn't lead to enough stops. It's about buy-in and about chemistry, which sometimes is something that's a little bit difficult to figure out how that happens. How one team that you put together that you think, like with Mus, with the idea of him being like a mad professor of the transfer portal, and you just kind of throw guys into a locker room, and it's like, well, I hope this works. And it has worked for him up until now, and it didn't work this year. I don't know. Nobody, how would he really know why that's the case?
Yeah, you bring in the right guys. I think that, you know, to his point, to what Battle's saying, yeah, there is some talent on this team. You know, Mark and Battle, Mitchell, he's most improved player. You think of where Mitchell was 2 years ago, and then think of what he did this year in conference play. I mean, just wow. You know, he really, so get to see him grow. And hopefully, if the part is, if these kids, whoever comes back, they should be better next year. You expect them to kind of just turn it up just a little bit more and be a little bit better.
Just a little bit better for everybody. If everybody's a little bit better than the whole
working
thing,
in the off season program, weights, getting your shots up. Yeah, I mean, just by that alone.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at GoPascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile device. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here.
We are about 6.5 hours away from first pitch in the first SEC game for Arkansas baseball. Number one Hogs taking on the Mizzou Tigers, which will be, now they didn't play each other last year, but they will be playing each other for the remainder of human history now that the SEC has announced that these two teams will be matched up year after year. Hogs also get Mizzou on an annual basis. And I'm sure that the SEC baseball schedule will never change even a smidgen for the remainder of human history. We do have some callers here on the text line, so we'll hit it up there and we'll see what they want to get to. I'm assuming it might be some basketball since the basketball season for Arkansas men's hoops came to an end yesterday. The women's team is waiting around for Sunday evening once the NCAA selection committee makes their choices for the NCAA tournament. Then they'll find out whether or not they'll play in the WBIT or the WNIT. So there's still a little bit of college basketball for Razorback fans left. Let's go to Charlie, who is in Camden on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Charlie, good afternoon and happy Friday. How are you?
What's up, guys? I have an idea for you still, and I think you should also pitch this one to Tommy. I think you guys should start a not top 10 tuna moments of the week, tuna blunders of the week. Seriously, no, I just had another one. Thank God this one was off the air. But I was coming out to my truck, and I happened to put the phone on speaker right after the C unit picked up, the great C unit over there. And I happened to put the phone on speaker to grab something out of the back of my truck. Well, unfortunately, the ad about Viagra came on, and somebody who parked beside me was a very attractive lady. And, she thought I was listening to the video about Viagra.
That might get her more interested. Hey, Charlie, that might actually get her a little more interested in you. Turn that thing up to 11, okay?
Man, I had to try to back on, off on that one, Phil. I had to tell her, man, look, I'm actually on hold with the great Arkansas Halftime Live.
We're not
going
to be able to help your dating life if you if you think sports radio is going to help your dating life. I got another thing for you, Charlie. That would be a number 11 on your bottom top 10. But
yeah,
the advice would be for right now. What do you want to talk about?
Absolutely. You know, I guess we could talk about the end. But I'll tell you what, I had forgotten about how freaking physical South Carolina was. I mean, I guess I should have thought about that. You know, I was thinking when they get in the tournament, they could be a matchup problem for some teams. You know, and I was thinking about back to the beginning of the year, and, you know, Phil, as you said, preseason rankings just honestly are overrated. And then also I think these portal rankings, let's just be honest, I think Arkansas, didn't they come in, weren't they number one coming into this season?
Well, I don't remember what the ranking was, but, I mean, they were playing. Look, freezing cold takes on Twitter yesterday. I had some fun with people who chose. That actually broadcast games nationally that are paying attention to the nitty-gritty that chose Arkansas as a preseason favorite for a national champion. So there was a lot of people that did that.
Oh, yeah, and I understand. I get all that. But the thing is, it's like we always talk about preseason rankings, these rankings. You got to see how they play with each other. And I think that more so was the issue this year than anything. Matt, I'm with you. We had a little bit of a lack of talent, too, but you know, I just don't think this group fit well together at the end of the day. And, you know, they had started to figure some things out, but it is what it is. It's a tough way to end it. I just think South Carolina was way better than us. It just is what it is. And so, you know, let's go back to what we did well. Let's go get these 6'7", 6'8", guys. And that kid, what was his name, Mac? The 6'8", 270 guy? Matchup nightmare for a lot of people. So, South Carolina could go
a little. Yeah, he was a huge matchup nightmare for Arkansas yesterday.
23 or 24 years old, too. That's the thing. He's an older guy. Now they did have a freshman that was balling for him, but he's one of those guys that's been around for a while.
Now look, we'll say this about the preseason rankings: it's not like they're going to go away. They're never going away. This is their conversation start. I would rather they're not around, but the SEC office will continue to do this. Sporting News, ESPN, CBS Sports, Yahoo Sports, The Athletic, they'll all do preseason rankings. SEC, Big Ten, all the way down to the Sun Belt, and they'll do their preseason lists of the thing that never made any sense is the idea of somebody being a preseason player of the year. It's like, well, I thought the player of the year was somebody that actually, I don't know, had something to do with the last year, but it doesn't. They're not going away, so there's going to be these stories. Someone next year is going to be picked to win a national championship, and they're not even going to make the tournament. This won't be the only time this happens. It's probably going to happen more. Probably happens more now just because of the reality of college sports. Eduardo the Sherpa has called halftime here at 877-377-6963. Eduardo, it's been a minute since we heard from you. Now it's baseball season. Are you ready to move on from hoops?
You're exactly right, sir. You know, certainly, you know, not the expectations of our program, you know, and I don't want... No, they didn't quit. I didn't see quit in them down the stretch. But certainly not the expectations. Our expectations, I said it before, is to go to the tournament. No excuses, year in, year out. I'll just leave it at that. But it certainly is a nice feeling to wake up. And right now, currently, the baseball Hawk Dream, number one nationwide. I mean, what a feeling. You know, could this be the year? You know, when you look at that mojo I talk about, with the baseball Hawk Train. It starts tonight, in my opinion, when we open up conference play against the Missouri Tigers. And I hope the players come and feed them a big bowl of that mojo tonight. And so, to set the tone, to get that, woo, get that Hawk Train baseball pumped up, headed to Omaha and take care of business at home. And I believe they will this year because of their pitching. But you know what? You want to win a national championship, I've said it before, one of the key ingredients of baseball Hog the Line is pitching. And boy, do we got pitching. I'd like to see the hit intensify a little bit. You do that, woo, that whistle you're talking about, it's early yet. It starts tonight. A one-way trek to Omaha.
I love this whole idea, Eduardo, because, you know, it's a group of pitchers that throw a lot of gas. Gas back in the day when, you know, you love your hog train, you like to feed the hog train engine with all that coal and get that smoke going. These guys are smoke throwers. It's perfect for you. They're all train engineers from back in the day when Eduardo would ride the train. Well, I mean, should I take the number one ranking with the grain of salt, too? Because we haven't played an SEC team yet. Is it the same ideas? Whatever Arkansas was ranked going into the regular basketball season, you know, take it with a bit of a grain of salt right now. Are they that good? I think they might be. Let's see what happens against SEC teams.
Yeah, you can tell how the season's going based on how many Eddie phone calls you get. We didn't get a lot of basketball Eddie phone calls this year.
He got some calls in there when the football season started to go south.
Yeah, we hadn't heard from you much, Eddie.
There's more basketball games in a basketball season than football games, so it's just a little more or a little less to react to, depending on which way you want to look at it. Yeah, this baseball series be really interesting with Missouri. The Tigers, they're not starting their number one pitcher. Now, they have an ugly team ERA that's 5.57, but I think that's kind of weighted by a few guys that just have had a couple of bad outings and they won't be pitching this weekend. They got some arms. They got a lefty in, I don't know if I'm saying the kid's name correctly yet, but I do have my pronunciation guard, Javon Pimentel, who's a left-hander who's got good numbers, and he'll start the second game tomorrow. They're starting a kid with an ERA that, I don't know, would be in second grade, just over 8. For today, the kid who's their top pitcher is Carter Rustad, who missed all of last year with an arm injury. He's made 4 starts. Batters hit under 180 against him. He's got an ERA that's in the 230s, but they're not starting him this weekend. They've got a TBA, so that makes me think like they are hoping to maybe bring Rustad in as a reliever to piggyback on one of the starters if they get a lead, but that's a big if. And so I think if they don't get a lead, and it's going to be tough for Mizzou to do that against some of the Arkansas pitchers, they'll see Hagen Smith and Brady Tigert the first 2 games. Then maybe they start Rustad the 3rd game of the series. See, this is the kind of thing that you would go through with Arkansas baseball sometimes in previous years, wondering who's going to start on Sunday. Now we know who it is. Every game, Mason Molina.
Hickey and Hole Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hole Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Eastside Liquor in Fort Smith has St. Patrick's Day specials going on right now. Shanky's Whip for $27.99, Proper 12 Apple for $29.99, Single Malt for $38.99, Blended for $28.99, Jameson Orange 750 milliliters for $25.99, and for 1.75 liters, $52.99. Redbreast Cask Strength for a new low price of $99.99. In Irish Creams, St. Brendan's 750 milliliters for $14.99, 1.75 liters for $27.99, and a new salted caramel for $14.99. Carolyn's Peanut Butter for $17.99, Bailey's Vanilla Mint Shake for $29.99, and a new flavor, chocolate, $29.99, and 5 Farms for $29.99. Now, back to the podcast.
James Teague is with us right now, former Razorback pitcher, member of the Teague Law Firm. And it's another opening day today, James. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm excited for the game. We got the crew coming over. We're going to get some crawfish, make some burgers, and so kind of get geared up for an SEC opener.
Wait a minute. You actually found crawfish? I was reading about a crawfish shortage. You must have spent a pretty penny for that.
Yeah, I'd call around a little bit. I haven't got confirmation that they're available, so I may eat my words here in about an hour when I go to order them, but we'll see.
Well, with Cajun spices, your words would taste just as fine. It's okay. Mizzou, as an every year opponent for Arkansas, I don't know if we've gotten into this before with you. You know, the SEC came out with that, I think, in the summer. It'll be Ole Miss and Missouri every year. A lot of fans really don't like that. I actually don't mind it at all. It's just going up to Mizzou every other year is not great. Their ballpark is the worst in the league by far. but they're not really a very competitive SEC program. So the way I view it is it's a chance to get a series win no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way of looking at it for sure. When we played Missouri, they had Tanner Houck. He's now a pitcher, I think, for the Red Sox.
Oh, yeah.
I know he was with them for a while, and he was dominant. He was one of the most dominant college arms that I had seen. You know, he kind of throws that low three-quarter, you know, 95 with that big sweeper breaking ball. So they were competitive that year because they had him in a decent bullpen. But I would agree with you otherwise, you know, not so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to take every team seriously, no matter who it is you play. And it's an SEC team, so... You know, you had to have – now, you know, the way that Arkansas schedules, you always are going to play some really good opponents leading into the SEC. Some of them will be teams that are College World Series caliber. But you can tell once you start playing in this league, there is an uptick. So for a pitcher, what does that mean when you're playing against SEC teams compared to, like, last week and you're playing a team like McNeese?
I think the biggest difference is you just don't get away with as much. You know, maybe you – don't have your best stuff, but, you know, guys pop out or ground out or they swing at pitches in the dirt. I think the plate discipline for hitters in the SEC is much better, whereas you don't get as much chase, you don't get as much swing and miss. And then also, if you throw fastballs over the plate, you know, you can get hammered, you know, where otherwise maybe earlier in the season you got away with it. I remember my first SEC start against Ole Miss throwing some of my best pitches and, you know, guys hitting balls hard to the outfield, guys sitting, you know, taking breaking balls in the dirt, and immediately just inning one knowing, okay, this is different. There's something different about this level of competition to where I need to be on my A game to have success.
You know, it's also kind of interesting the way that the start of the SEC schedule falls on the calendar. It's like the same as if a football team was playing in a bowl game. You know, the basketball team's about to start conference play, but the focus around the fan base is kind of more around the bowl game. Things are a little bit different right now with basketball not making it to the college basketball postseason. So did you ever – that you were around where Arkansas was usually playing in the men's basketball tournament. So did you feel that? Did you feel like an extra extra eyes on you or anything once the basketball season was over and fans kind of turned the page?
I think naturally they transition, but I think also the weather's getting nicer. So kind of as basketball is phasing out, you know, the weather's picking up. Now people really want to come see you play Auburn or Ole Miss opposed to maybe some of the preseason teams. And so there's definitely an uptick in excitement, an uptick, you know, I think just in fan numbers and attendance. And hopefully at that point you've got some experience, you know, dealing with the fans and dealing with that to where it's not as big of an uptick because you've kind of been there. It's just a little bit greater degree than what you've already been used to so long in the season.
So looking at the current iteration of the baseball team, the pitching roles are starting to fill in. You feel great about your starting pitchers. A lot of questions about the lineup, how it gets constructed. You're starting to see some good signs here and there. I don't know if they're going to be a team that just outslugs other clubs like we've seen some years, but they don't necessarily need to. It seems right now, James, like if this team is able to scratch out 5 to 6 runs, they're going to end up with a really good season.
I think it's what it's going to come down to is timely hitting, not necessarily the huge averages, tons of slugging. You know, I think the games where we leave a lot of guys on base, but we pitch well, you know, we're going to struggle to win those games. They're definitely going to be close games. Whereas, you know, if we can have some guys hitting high 200s, you know, even low 300s, just consistently get on base, but have timely hitting, then, you know, you can win 5-3, you can win 6-4, 4-2. You know, those games are winnable with this staff if they continue on the trajectory that they are now.
Well, another thing they got to do is field the ball, which is interesting because this is a team that strikes out so many batters, you know. So you would think, well, your fielders, you don't have so much a premium on fielding the ball, but you know that these guys, which now there's going to be a little bit more contact. Like, I don't know if they're going to strike out 15 batters a game like we've seen for the first 4 weeks. You really can't pull that off. Or maybe they can, James, because this is some pitching staff.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they can. I would be surprised, you know. I've had many games where I've seen myself and others throw really their best pitches, and you're thinking, how do you not swing at that? Like, is he guess right? Is he looking for it? Like, what's going on? I mean, it really is just a better degree of competition. But at the same time, you know, we have that same degree of hitters on our team. So I think it'll shape itself out. You know, the infielders, they'll get their work, and the pitchers will do what they do. It'll just be a matter of, okay, these guys are better, but it's the same game. It's the same process. Let's go out there and compete and win some conference games.
Getting Peyton Stovall back healthy, not just as a hitter but as a fielder, can really take big leaps for the team in both terms, offense and fielding. I don't think there was a second baseman that was really good at turning the double play. And Stovall, you know, I don't even think we had a chance to see him at his best turn of that double play last year because of the shoulder injury. But, I mean, he's a natural second baseman. I know he played some shortstop in high school, but his position is second base. He looks natural there. And this is a team that, I mean, James, they've usually been so good at turning the double play. But that's one thing that they've struggled on a little bit, and they can take a big leap forward with Stovall back at second.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess it's the trade-off between kind of the energy of Holt at second and kind of his, you know, the top 10 kind of plays that he makes versus maybe a little more of the consistency and the ability to turn two, you know, by Stovall. I mean, Phil, do you think defensively there's a big drop between Holt and Stovall?
I think there's. I think the drop is more in terms of number of times he's played in that position. And there's been, I don't know if I'd say there's a tendency, but there have been a couple of times where Peyton, where Holt has taken his eye off the ball in a backhand, where I'm used to seeing Stovall look it into his glove, and he just has been, he's been dependable. And the other aspect of this, too, is, like, Stovall can play second base. He's played first base as a freshman, and they're going to search for a spot to put Holt in the lineup, along with Souza, too. Whether it's left field, whether it's third base, or whether it's DHing, I think, at times, too, because you know what it's like. Dave will find a spot for you if you can hit, and right now he needs production specifically out of left field and, I think, at third base, too.
Yeah, and we'll probably see a little bit of a merry-go-round on those positions. I mean, obviously McLaughlin is really producing offensively at first, so it's difficult to put Stovall there. But you want to find a way to put, you know, Holt in the lineup. But then if Spraglott's going to hit, if he's playing well at third, it's hard to move him to third. And so it's a good problem to have of where do I fit this guy. But inevitably the lineup will flop throughout the year. I think by the time we get halfway through conference, we'll have a pretty good idea of where guys need to be and where they're most productive.
I also think you have a really solid bench if because there's only, you know, there's only nine spots in the lineup, but you got guys that I think you feel really confident sending up to the plate for a pinch hit opportunity in late innings. I mean, Peyton Holt as a pinch hitter late in a game, like, I love the idea of him starting, but that kid comes through in the clutch. You know, Hudson Polk, Spraglott, if he's not starting at third base, that's a guy. I mean, they're going to be strong at pinch hitter. And I don't know if, you know, we think about, oh, are they going to have a good group of pinch hitters? You know what? I think they will.
Yeah, the pinch hitter thing for me was always intriguing because I always thought it would be hard to come off the bench, you know, for eight innings and then show up and say, all right, we need you to get hit. We think you're a great hitter. Here we go. Opposed to the guy who's had some at-bats that day, you know, seeing the ball. But then again, you know, if you've got a guy in the lineup who isn't seeing the ball great that day, is it someone fresh off the bench a better option? I think a lot of times the answer is yes, and you see pinch hitters, you know, have huge pinch hits. But, you know, to me that was always tricky because I always felt like the guy who's been in the game is going to be better suited than someone coming off the bench. But, you know, that's not always the case.
Well, you know what it's like to be a pinch hitter. You just know what it's like to be a pinch pitcher. It's the same. Yeah. It's like, it's the same idea. Hey, kid, take the ball, get out there right now.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's something true. I mean, for guys who have some history pinch hitting, you know, maybe it's not difficult. Just from my conversations with guys in the dugout, you know, I played with Clark Egan. He had some pinch hits early in his career. You know, you kind of go from cold, you know, 0 to 100 kind of deal. But for some guys, they make it work. So be it.
You've obviously had a chance to see Gackle pitch. The more, I mean, he's a freshman. 10 inherited runners, bases loaded twice he's inherited, hasn't allowed an inherited runner to score yet. That's amazing for any pitcher, especially a freshman. And I don't think he's the only guy who's going to get a chance to close. I think he'll be the first guy to get a chance to close.
Absolutely. I mean, when you don't give up someone else's runs, you're everyone's best friend, and especially the starting pitcher. And so, yeah, I've been really impressed by what I've seen from him. I think just the composure, the velocity, and the stuff to come in and get guys out is really impressive. He's going to be the guy, you know, if we've got a lead Friday, he's going to get the ball first, you know. And I think even as well as he's done, he can have a, you know, a hiccup here or there and still hold that position. I mean, he's definitely the most reliable closer we've got now. And, you know, as long as he keeps doing what he's doing, he's going to be a weapon at the back of the bullpen.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Neil Atkinson is on the McLarty Daniel Hotline from BetSarazen, Arkansas's favorite sports betting app. And Neil, how you doing today?
Well, I heard you talking about my Tennessee Volunteers just a minute ago. I'm watching that. I'm not doing that great from a fan perspective. Now, I think the book may like it, but for me, it's not fun to watch. But heck, it's tournament time, and hey, that's the way it goes.
You still root for your team and run the book at the same time. These things don't have to be independent. But hey, as a fan, if they were to fall in this game, I know that the whole narrative of regular season, you're only going to hear it for another week after that, regular season Rick, until they finally get all the way.
Yeah, and looking at it from a betting perspective, you know, that game went off, I think, at 10.5.
Wow.
And I'm watching the live feed right now, and yeah, I think it's 40-26, or, you know, I maybe have a little bit of delay, but the live odds right now are plus 5.5 for Tennessee. You know, going into earlier today, you know, if you said you could have gotten Tennessee at plus 5.5, I mean, I would have loaded up on that, you know. But, hey, that's why they play the games and anything that can happen, and I guess that's the cool thing about the in-play betting is that if you do bet the wrong way, you can always kind of hedge your bet or maybe recover. So, you know, that's the advantage of that. And with tournament time, I mean, there's a lot of that going on. There's been a lot of upsets in the conference tournaments that we've seen. So, and that's the magic of tournament time.
Yeah, I mean, so there's the tournament, which starts next week, in which everybody makes a bracket and everybody's watching all the games, and it becomes kind of like a, I mean, really the first 2 days, and I don't mean the first four, but I mean when you get past the first four, those first 2 days are sort of like a national holiday. I think the national GDP probably drops a little bit because we're all watching basketball.
I've seen statistics that those are the two least productive days on Thursday and Friday of the year are the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament. So they've actually done studies and they have data on that. So that definitely is true.
So that also would go along with, I think people gambling legally on those games. This is like the warm up to that, this championship week. Do you get that same bump in activity from sports bettors on BetSarazen during conference tournaments?
Well, let me tell you this. Last Saturday was the biggest Saturday that we have ever had in college basketball, and that's basically, most of the regular season ending was last Saturday. You know, I know some went over into Sunday. Thursday, yesterday, was the biggest Thursday that we have ever had on the BetSarazen, except for the first day of March Madness of last year. So if that is any indication, next Thursday and next Friday, and I would suspect the play-in games or the first four games are going to get some attention too there also. So, I mean, I think we're tracking to do about double what we did last year, just looking at the trends and the numbers. Now, the wild card this year is that we had Arkansas in it last year. This year we don't. So what we'll see is that probably the money will be spread out amongst a lot of different games with Arkansas not being in the field.
Yeah. Do you find that the conference tournaments are as wonky to try to pick games as maybe the first round of the NCAA tournament? It's just not too chalky.
No, I mean, everybody takes their own philosophy, like, for instance, Tennessee lost their last game. They're already in the tournament. Maybe everybody thinks they were, if they did well in the tournament, they'd have a potential as a number one seed. Matter of fact, I saw earlier today before the Tennessee-Mississippi State game started that one of the bracketologists had, it was between North Carolina and Tennessee for the final number one seed. And, if this game keeps going as it is, I guess we'll know who that will be here in about an hour or so. But, it's just time of year. When you have the win or go home mentality of the lower seeded team, it always makes it interesting. And that's why I think the NCAA tournament is the best sports competition in the world. I know I've got some World Cup and soccer fans that may disagree with me a little bit, but maybe I'm a little biased to this event here, because I think it's the best setup, and you get all of the good teams in there. And I'm kind of mixed about them expanding it, but to me, the more games, the merrier.
From two perspectives, one as a fan, where you'd say, well, why change the tournament where it feels like it's perfect already? But I would imagine that the legal betting industry wouldn't mind more tournament games. It just probably means it's a little bit more action.
Oh, yes, absolutely. From that perspective, from a business perspective, I like it. Now, personally, I'm a little bit more of a traditionalist, but, hey, this technology is changing, and the viewership and the streaming and the TV and the access to it. So there definitely is in that interest. And, with NIL and the transfer portal, I mean, there's, I know we've got your top teams, but, there's a little bit of a shift in parity and things of that nature, depending on how a coach comes in and works that transfer portal and goes on a run deep in the season. So, it's great. Like I'm looking forward to next January, because we'll have college football through the last weekend of January next year, and then just 2 weeks in the Super Bowl, whereas we usually have that month gap between the national championship and the Super Bowl. So, the more content, the more opportunities for people to bet. We do like that as a bookmaker, but then again, when we get to championship time, it's very, very volatile for the books, just like the Super Bowl was, and we could take some big losses during that time, but that's the nature of the game.
College baseball season really starting to kick into gear with conference play starting in the SEC now. Hogs get Mizzou today. Got them favored by 3.5 runs, -525 on the money line, and some special bets involving Hagan Smith, which when we think about Hagan Smith, we think about striking batters out.
Yeah, the baseball props that we do, they are very, very, very popular. And we recently expanded them to cover almost all the players. Now, a good thing is that if for some reason a player does not play, you know, of course we refund those. But, college props, the NCAA is kind of saying, hey, they don't want to do college props and have lobbied for some people to stop. But, like, here in a state in Arkansas, you know, college props are a huge part of our business, and we want to be able to continue to offer that. So that's – since a lot of the data feed providers don't have those college props, we create those ourselves based on our stats and our markets and all of that stuff. And we've done pretty well with it, and we try to put out enough selections out there where we have a good hit frequency where people feel if they do bet those props, they can win on those and put the odds on there and boost the payouts on them. So, we love creating our content. And we've done the same thing for Arkansas women's softball. Right now, that's the only softball team that we're covering. We may expand that a little bit as we get down in conference play. Definitely will in the World Series, on a softball World Series. But, that baseball is really ramping up right now. And of course, with the number one ranking of the Hogs, a lot of attention, a lot of focus on them.
Yeah, and we're all hoping for a baseball season that at least helps take a little bit of the sting away from basketball and football. Neil, we'll leave it there. Appreciate you, man, and we'll revisit next week when we're watching basketball games in the tournament. That'll be fun.
Oh, it will be fun, yeah. As Arkansas fans, they need a break. They need one to go their way, and hopefully the baseball team will be able to do that this year. So bet with your head not over it. Have fun. Hit your parlays and make your picks wisely.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.